Hey, we're glad you're with us today. We say it every week. We mean it. You're not here by mistake. You're here by design. And if you're our guest today, we welcome you to Grace Family. We love our church. We love our people. We love our God. But you're not here by mistake. You're here by design. No matter why you think you came today, no matter if you're getting your Christmas in early or whatever, you're here and God says, hey, I want to meet with you here. So we're glad that you're with us today. And it's just a thrill to see. Okay, somebody said, who died? After the first service, somebody said, uh-oh, that's premonition. Somebody dying today? No, I said, Mac tried that last week. In first service, you guys weren't here, but you know, Mac had a little issue last week, and he said, uh-oh, did you show, that afternoon I showed up, he goes, you don't have your tie on, do you? No, I don't, I'm fine. You know, but if you're a guest, I wear ties twice a year unless I have to do a funeral. So if you see me visiting you in the hospital with a tie, you better be making, man, preparations, because it's about done. But I do wear ties. I have to get two in a year. And so I usually wear one at Easter. My wife says you got to wear a nice looking tie for Easter. However, this year I didn't. I wore a Hawaiian shirt. So I have to get two in a year. So when people say, you don't wear ties, I say, yes, I do. I wear ties. So you're seeing this one because that's usually what I wear at Christmas and Easter. I didn't wear Easter. So next week I'm going to have another tie on this. And some of you are going to get really uptight because you're going to really be bummed. As Pastor Ben said, you come in and there's no donuts. You're all going to go, oh, no donut, no donut. But then you're going to be bummed because I'm going to have Santa Claus on my tie. And you're going to say, Santa on Christmas? Yeah, you're going to have Santa Claus on my tie. And this isn't the Grinch. Some of you think it's a Grinch. It's a koala bear, okay? So I'm not Scrooge as bad as you think I am. But we're glad. We got a lot going on anyway. We're glad you're with us today, as I say. And we come and we issue this issue of, is the season? Tis the season. What does that say to you when we say, tis the season, in your head? And it may be this initially, it's tis the season, and you're thinking of the issue of the little song, tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Well, I don't know when the last time you decked your halls with holly, but, you know, we don't really do that. But beyond that little song, beyond the issue of what does that season really mean for you? When we talk about Christmas, what does tis the season really mean? And you may have answers that you look at as you start thinking in your heart and in your head. What does it really mean? For some, it means dread. For some, tis the season is dread. For some, it's like craziness. It's the excuse for our brain to take a vacation and we're just berserk. For some, it means debt. Well, maybe not the season of debt. It's usually 30 days after we find the season of debt. But for some, tis the season, uh-oh. For some, it's the lack of contentment. For some, this is the season of the lack of contentment. Because in that sense, you're saying, oh, I don't have the money to buy what I want to buy, and therefore, you know, whether it is for someone else or someone giving you, and the focus of Christmas becomes your money instead of your master, which is the Lord. And so oftentimes, Christmas, it can be, you know, for some people, it really is a financial issue, and yet we look and say, man, is that really what it's about? Do we need to stop and reprioritize? For some, it means absolutely nothing. There are those in my extended family who you can say, hey, what are you doing for Christmas? Nothing. It's just another day on the calendar. Sad, isn't it? That's the excuse. That's their viewpoint, their perspective. It's just another day on the calendar. And yet for some, that's all it is. It's just another day. And there's some who say, oh boy, the only reason Christmas is bad this year is because it's on a Sunday and I'm going to miss a day's work because, I mean, I'm not going to get another day off. If we're in the middle of the week, we might get another day off. And so, that's a bummer, but it means nothing. And you may be saying, boy, Bill, you're a buzz killer. Come in here for Christmas. Band does a great job and you're a buzz killer because you just take the fun right out of Christmas, don't you? I don't mean it to be that way. I don't want to be Scrooge, but I think there are some issues as we come to that. I mean, and believe me, I have my own views on what 'tis the season is. I made the decision, I almost said mistake, but that wouldn't be, well, maybe it would. I made the decision this last week to go shopping. I feel like at some point in time I had to take a time and go shopping for, you know, Janet and different things for Christmas. So I bit the bullet. Now, I have a philosophy of shopping, which I can't tell you. I told some of the people in the first service, but most of you have big mouths and you'll run and tell my wife exactly what my strategy is for shopping, so I'm not going to tell you. So, because then she's sitting over here and then she'll find out. First service, she was in the nursery. But, So I walk in and I go shopping, and of course, she knew I went to Kohl's because there was a coupon that she gave me, and you know there was. So I went to Kohl's, but unfortunately, part of the reason why I don't like to go shopping—don't take this bad—is I walk in, I'm overloaded. I mean, I've never seen so many clothes in my life and so many things. They jam all the aisles; everything is just filled. And I'm thinking, okay, you're supposed to find one thing out of here or two things out of here, and there is my philosophy. But I'm not going to tell you what that is. Some of you guys later can come and ask me, and I'll tell you my philosophy of shopping because I don't worry about all that stuff. And it's not a gift card either, so don't go there. But part of the reason is shopping, because I ran into a bunch of you folks as well. Not that I don't want to see you, but when I'm there on a mission. Guys, you understand this mission, don't you? You are there. We are conquering. I don't want to talk about Jesus right now. You know, sorry. Man. Eric, we're streaming this one, aren't we? I asked you to cut the first one again. The first service we cut off because I got in trouble. But anyway, I do want to talk about Jesus. In fact, I'm mesmerized. I'm walking around going, oh my gosh, look at all this stuff in here. And ho, 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 I'm just like Santa. I'm getting like, what am I? How? Then my philosophy kicked in. I said, okay, I know what I'm doing. I'm on a mission. I can get this done. I'll be out of here in 22 minutes. I will be done, done, done. Then I hear somebody, and I'm mesmerized. They were in the first service, because I'm looking around saying, okay, now I'm focused. I don't see anybody. I hear this. Well, why do you say hello to Pastor Bill? And next thing I know, there's a phone in front of my face. And one of our people in the church was in the first service, said, oh, hi, Pastor Bill. Here, talk to my husband on the phone. Now, guys, you know, I'm not a real phone guy anyway. But if you see me, don't say, hey, say hello to Pastor Bill and hand me your phone, okay? Because usually I say, hey, thanks for talking, bye, click. You know, I'm shopping, bye, out of here. And so we ran into people and just this issue of, and I'm thinking, holy cow, this is supposed to be joyful. And I'm watching moms, some of you moms with your kids. Ho, ho, we're going Christmas shopping today. Get out of here, Johnny, wham, out of this. Don't get behind the wham. Where's Johnny? They're just frantic. It's craziness. And I'm listening to all this and, man alive, this is joy. Oh, get me out of here. Now, I'm sure someplace in there, there's joy and there's fun laced in there. And some of you just love that and you thrive on that. Some love the family time that this season, 'tis the season for family that it brings. Some of you loathe it. You loathe the family time and the season it brings. You say, I've been able to avoid them all year. But at family, we got to be around them at family. And then we say season's greetings. What does that mean anyway? Season's greetings. I mean, when I hear that, I think of Pastor Ben. I said, man, when the baseball season's come, because he loves baseball, season's greetings, Ben. Baseball begins, you know? I mean, or NASCAR, you know, like Spock or something, you know, season's greetings. And I think, man, that doesn't make any sense at all. Then Merry Christmas. And some of you get all amped up. You're all up in arms because some of the stores aren't saying Merry Christmas. They're saying season's greetings. And it doesn't bug me at all. Sorry. It doesn't bother me at all. You say, well, aren't they taking Christ out of Christmas? No, there's not. Macy's, none of these places take Christ out of Christmas. You and I do. You and I do. And the reality is we say Merry Christmas. Is it really that merry? Because we may take Christ out of Christmas, but where are we done with the merry part of that as well? Ooh, are we having fun? Yes, we're having fun. Now, some of you are saying, well, Bill, you just really... Whew, I can tell you don't like Christmas. You are Scrooge. No, that's not really the case. I mean, I enjoy Christmas to a degree. But I think there is the issue of we look at Christmas and to see what it is and what it isn't and what it has become and what it needs to be. And so I want to just share with you this morning some of the things just as I pondered over the last few weeks. And Ben gave you enough to chew on the last 2 weeks, which was really great. I said, Ben, why don't you give him the Christmas to chew on? And I'm just going to do some things from my heart here, and that's what today is about. Because 'tis the season, I think there's some things we need to see. 'Tis the season of remembering. There's no doubt that Christmas brings a sense of memory, a sense of remembering. Memories of good times, hard times, maybe those family times that are great, and maybe those family times that were just sad. To me, and just to me, maybe not to you, but to me there's a unique sadness at Christmas. A sadness. There can be unique joy as you remember. But it seems like for me, the unique sadness of people that I've lost, of family, of people that I care about, maybe people that you can't be with that you really want to be with, and you're with people that you don't want to be with and you'd rather be with somebody else. You know, some of your biological family is secondary to even some of your spiritual family you'd rather be with to celebrate what it's really all about. Perhaps you've lost a parent and you look, and perhaps you've lost a relationship that has been strained, and there's just a unique sadness that comes along with that, within that process. Thinking of others, loved ones and lost ones, and memories around Christmas. But for some, it's not always pleasant. Some of you will remember your memories, and they'll be built around things that were not pleasant. Perhaps some of the holidays brought you issues that are not good to the family because of so much Christmas cheer. Whatever it may be within that process. And some look with dread to end all of that. So there is a sense of remembering, but there's also a sense in the word that we're told to remember. Over and over, we're told to remember the reason for 'tis the season. The reason, which is Christ and the child, that incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us. That we're told to remember his teaching. That we're told to remember his purpose. That we're told to remember the purpose of why he came, of why we even celebrate any of this. That we're told to remember his love, and nothing can separate us from his love. We're told to remember that, in fact, he came in the demonstration of his love within that process. We're told to remember his forgiveness, and don't forget that you've been forgiven. If you know Christ as your Savior today, if there's been that time in your life when you've opened your heart to him, and you realize you need a Savior, he says, don't forget that you've been forgiven. Live your life in that way. Don't forget the wonders of knowing him. Don't forget this dangerous wonder of knowing God, of living every day, seeing God move in great and strange ways. Don't forget his covenant, the covenant that we have, that he's made with us. Don't forget his care. And don't forget eternity. Don't forget the eternal perspective that we have within this process, that God has an eternal perspective, that this isn't all there is. Next day, next week, Christmas Day, in fact, we're going to be here. We are told to remember that through the ordinance of communion, which we celebrate next week on Christmas Day, that we remember his death till he comes again, that we remember the reason he came was to die for you and for me. So we remember that. We're told to remember. And so 'tis the season. I think we need to slow down long enough to remember some of the things in our life. And if they've been painful, maybe we don't want to remember those. But the things of God are good things, and we need to remember those and hold on to those, that this is what it's all about. 'Tis the season in the midst of the chaos to remember that. It's also 'tis the season of loving. I understand, and it's great. I think everybody seems to be usually a little more aware of people in needs around Christmas. We have people in our church who from Thanksgiving to Christmas will call and say, Pastor Bill, is there anybody who needs something? Can I help in some way? And there seems to be a little greater sense of that we want to help people. But this issue of loving, that we want to be loving, we want to be caring within that process. But we're also told to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, that we need to love the Lord first and foremost, that as we enter this season, that there's nothing, as you heard Mike say, as he introduced the song, as we heard different people, that it's God and. It should be God in the first priority of our life, and second thing, everything else is second. That we love the Lord our God, but it also says to love your neighbor, that they see our love, that we reach out to those around us. That we reach out to those, and then it says to love yourself. And I know if you grew up in a church like I did, that was never taught. There was never a sense. I think they forgot that verse. But that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. There is a proper view of self-love. And the way we view ourselves, the way we love ourselves, is to see us the way God sees us. That we value us the way we value ourselves based upon what God values in us. And that's how we're to love our neighbor. We're to value them the way God values them. And if we don't value ourselves in a correct way, the way God has valued us, it will be impossible, because we will take the standard by which we judge ourselves and we will place it upon others. But when we value ourselves the way God values us, when we see what God sees of us, then the standard is to say, God, I can value others, because it's not me valuing, it's you. And so we're told to value others. He says to love the Lord your God. He says in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, and from that everything else emanates. We looked at the 1 Corinthians 13 a number of weeks ago about the love chapter, that the greatest of these is love. What does it really mean to love God, to seek him? John 13 tells the disciples to love one another. John 13 tells us that the world's going to know that we're his disciples by the love that we have one for another, by we demonstrate that. And hopefully we do this year-round, but it seems like at Christmas, tis the season of loving. And Christmas gives us the opportunity to focus on his love and demonstrate that to others, and I think we need to be aware of that as we focus within that. And from that loving, then the next obvious thing is that it's the season of remembering. It's the season of remembering his love for us. And as we remember his love for us, the next obvious thing is that it's a season of giving. 'Tis a season of giving. Love is seen in giving. That's how love is demonstrated. Not just gifts, but the things in our life. John 3:16, the most well-known verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This everlasting life. He says he is the life within that process. It is his life. Giving to the Lord and giving to others. I mean, even yesterday, most of you don't know, but we had men out here yesterday who were digging in the mud, the dirt, trenches for stuff you'll never even know why they were there. You'll never see that they were here. What were they giving of? They weren't just giving of their money. They were out there giving of their work and their expertise and their knowledge to do the things. We have people who mow the lawns. We have people who do the work in the nursery and stars and all these things, and people who serve. And hopefully we do it out of love, that we give out of love. Now, again, I grew up in a church where we didn't give out of love. we gave out of. You better give to God, because if you don't, you're going to go out, your tires are flat, and God's going to take your firstborn. And if you ever want to, you know, you're never going to have a blessing. You're never going to, you know, you better give. That's a lie. We don't give out of guilt. We don't give out of fear. We give out of the fact that we love. When we love somebody, we want to give to them. When we love something, when we see, and what the issue of giving is, if people who have a hard time giving, if you have a hard time giving, now listen, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about by the way, time out. This happened between the service. I had one of the people in the service come and ask me, I want to know how to give. Dude, that was the best Christmas present a pastor could get. But anyway, time out, you know. Stop. Anyway, okay, back in session here. The issue of giving, it's not just about money. In fact, for some of you, it's easier for you to give the check than to give of yourself. It's about the issue of saying, God, I want to give of myself, my time, my talent, my treasure. And for me, say, I'm really too busy to be there. I'm really too busy. Can I pay for that, Pastor Ben? Let me do this. I can't be there, but I want to, you know. Listen, God doesn't need that. God says we need to be a steward of all that we have. And this giving, and if people have a hard time giving of their time, talent, or their ability, it's usually because you don't understand how much God loves you and what he's done for you. Because the issue of our giving is one that is totally responsive. It's not we're stimulating God by giving. God has stimulated us in all that he's loved us, and we respond out of that. And so if you have a hard time giving to God in any fashion, it really begins with you don't understand what God has done in you and for you and through you. Because then the natural response to that is, I love the Lord and I want to be a part of that. Corinthians talks about us being generous, seeing the needs of others, and then calling Pastor Ben and saying, Ben, can you take care of this? No, that's not what it says. It says seeing the needs of others out of their generosity. When you see somebody's needs, you say, how can I help meet that need? And at times it may be bigger than you, and you may need to say, okay, I need others. But I love the fact that our church, I love our church, and you don't, and there's been, I don't even know, but we have people in our church who see the needs of others and they meet that need, and I never know about it until after it's been done. My wife and I met with a family this week, and they had a need, and somebody else met that need in our church, and we didn't know it. We're talking to this person, and then the need comes out about, hey, this need was met in my mail. Somebody sent me this. Is that not the coolest? Because those people who met that need didn't come to me and say, hey, we want you to know that we're going to be doing this, and we want you to know because you can pat us on the back. No, they just put it in the mail and said, we felt this is what we want to do. That generosity, not out of giving out of your abundance. Corinthians says they gave out of their poverty, and God richly blessed them. The generosity of giving, which leads us within that of thankfulness. 'Tis the season of thankfulness. What are you thankful for today? What, and if nothing else, some of you say, well, we're in the financial situation where Christmas isn't going to be like we wanted. Okay. We're in the situation where our family's going to be separated from us. Okay. I'm sorry. But can you have a sense of thankfulness? If nothing else, 2 Corinthians 9 tells us, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. If nothing else, can you be thankful to God for this indescribable gift, contextually the gift of grace, which we never can fathom? It makes no sense. It is illogical. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift, that we have a gratitude that we have a God who loves us and cares for us and is bigger than all of these issues, and our focus needs to be on him. Are you a grateful person or are you a selfish one? Do you measure Christmas by the world standard of what you can give and what you can get versus the issue of just being thankful for the Christ child coming that we might have life and have it to the fullest? The thankfulness. But not only is it a time, and I think we lose a lot of this. And perhaps within this process, we really will see it this year more than any other year. But I believe it is a time, 'tis the season of worship, to worship the Lord. Luke chapter 2, the narrative of the birth of Christ. These comes to the shepherds. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The issues of worship, ascribing worth to God. And it is 'tis the season for me of worship. Without Christ, we have no life. There is no life. He is the life. And you're worshiping something today, everybody does. What is it you're worshiping? There's something in your life that you're going to worship, that you're going to say is the most important priority of your life. What is it? The issue is he's saying that the thing we should worship should be the Lord Jesus. That is our worship. That's the only one worthy of our praise, worthy of our worship. What is it that we worship? Is this a season of worship for you? Have you even thought about worshiping in this process of buying just the right gifts or doing this? Have you thought about the issue of worship? Is it the issue of worship for churches? Over a year ago, after Christmas, a debate started. I saw it in my pastor journal, my pastor briefing stuff, and pastors were debating the issue of this Christmas, of it being on Sunday. And for some pastors, it was a dilemma of having Christmas on Sunday. And they were wondering in this form of, what do we do? Really? Are you serious with this? And some churches, even within our area, are canceling their services on Sunday. Now, if you're a guest and you come from one of those churches, you're probably going to get mad at me. Because I wouldn't go back. Because this is a season of worship. And it shows that there's priority out of whack if we can't come to church on the Sunday of Christmas to worship. I realize it changes all of your schedule. I understand that. And we won't have donuts, so that's really a bummer. You know? I realize you have to do something with your gifts. I realize that. But what a greatest teachable moment. The teachable moment of your family. Say, you know what? Yeah, we're going to open gifts from each other and from Santa and all those kind of things. But we're going to go worship the greatest gift ever given. We are going to worship the most indescribable gift. I understand it changes how the day may flow. I understand your tradition of all the things you've done every Christmas morning. Maybe you need to start a new one. The issue that this is what it's all about. And I'm going to tell you what, pastors, we're debating. Oh, should we have, you know, man, it's good for family time. We're going to let families be together. Christmas, I hate to tell you this, is not about family time. Really, it isn't. Christmas is about worshiping God, Emmanuel, incarnate with us. That's what it's about. And I know some of you are going to get all, you know, your the hair in the back of your head, if you have any, you know, is going up. But man, the dilemma of pastors saying, what are we going to do? It should be the greatest day. I felt like I think it was Mike Gaines last night. I blew it this year. Because in the midst of the dilemma, I should have had two huge banners made. Huge banners. For the front of our church that said, we're going to be here Christmas Day. Come join us. Come join us. Because this is what Christmas is all about, folks. This is what it's about. It's about worshiping the birth of a Savior. You may say, well, we're going to be with family. We're going to be out of town. Great. Maybe you need to say, you know what? I really love it. They may not go to church. Say, I wonder if there's a church that I can find. Maybe I'm going to go worship and just take a short period of time out. Is that a lesson that you could learn and teach to others about what's important on that day of all days? Which brings me, so you don't think I'm totally the issue, I am a Scrooge in this, I guess, 'tis a season of change. Perhaps it is showing you that there needs to be a change in your perspective, because Christmas on a Sunday is saying, uh-oh, what is, it may point to our need for a change. What is our priority? What is our perspective? 2 Corinthians says we're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. What made us a new creation was the birth of a Christ child who died for us, who rose again. And in that new creation, maybe we have a new tradition that says it's about worship, it's about thankfulness, it's about these things, and it's not about just all this stuff that the world has made it. The joy of a child, that simple gift. Man, I get people every year who seem to apologize because they don't have the money that they want to have to buy for whom they want to buy. And I appreciate that heart. I appreciate that sense of that giving. And I appreciate that. But really, folks, is that what it's about? Is that what it's about? And I wonder if we could ever have a Christmas, instead of focusing on what we're going to give or get, we focus on what we already have. Wouldn't that be weird? To focus on what we already have, not needing anything else, but what we already have. And lastly, I think when we make that change, when we see it, when we see what Christmas is all about with worship and thankfulness and change, it will create a 'tis the season of joy. That's when the joy will come into your life. the joy of our life will be when we start to realize, listen, what it's really all about, those teachable moments, the joy. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. And that's what Christmas is all about. The birth announcement of Christ was good news, great joy, and it's for everybody. You're here. And that's what the announcement of our Christmas should be. We have good news. Not that I bought you the right pair of socks, but I greet great joy. The good news is that Christ came for you and for me. And born in the babe as a human being to take on the suffering and ultimately to die. Joy in God. The joy that you have grace today, man, that we'll never understand it. It's so illogical, isn't it? One of my counseling sessions just couldn't wrap their head around the fact that it's just illogical. This issue of grace and forgiveness and loving me as I am is illogical. And I said, yeah, it is, isn't it? Aren't we glad? Aren't you glad? Don't look at me stone-faced like you deserve it. None of us do. It is illogical. It makes no sense. And we should be glad it makes no sense, because that's the God thing. That's the God mystery of it. The joy of grace and forgiveness and acceptance. So the question as we go today is, what is the season for you? 'Tis the season of what, if you were to fill in your own life? What has this year been? 'Tis the season of all about me? Has been 'tis the season of accomplishing the goals that I want? 'Tis the season, what is the season right now? How would you fill that in? 'Tis the season of worship. 'Tis the season of joy. 'Tis the season of faithfulness. 'Tis the season of dread. 'Tis the season of debt. 'Tis the season of, you fill that in. And may we come to the issue of maybe we need to have a perspective of change that says it's about worshiping the Lord Jesus, and everything else within that process will fall into line. Let's pray. Father, I pray if there's someone here this morning who's never given you their heart and their life, they don't know you as their Savior. The greatest gift they could ever receive is at this very moment, if they would just trust in you, they'd give you their heart and life. Man, they'd know the joy and forgiveness. You say that, man, if we'll just come to you and call upon you, and we'll repent of our sin and see the need of a Savior, that you'll save us, you adopt us as your children. You take away that guilt, you take away that sin. God, that's the greatest gift. That is that indescribable gift that we could feel today. May we worship that, may we celebrate that as we come to Christmas. And God, I pray that it will be a season in the midst of the chaos that we will stop to worship and to reflect and to remember what you've done in us and through us, to remember to pray for those who may be struggling, to pray for those who may have needs, and yet God, help us to be sensitive to meet those as well. So thank you for loving us today. Thank you for caring for us. We love you. May we celebrate that this Christmas. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.